And I think whenever whenever guys, you know, are able to see me come out here and scritch with them, you know, it just keeps the engine rolling, you know what I'm saying, with the whole team. So it is important. The one day I did miss, though, I was just dropping the kids off to the pool. So, I mean, besides that, I'm out here every day, dog.
The longest time, though, you were coming out after everybody. Is that because you're stretching inside or what's going on there?
Nah, I was just trying to see what y'all was talking about on Twitter before I came out. That's a serious answer, though. Was this last year?
Yeah,
that's a serious answer then. What? Did you want me to say more? You want me to expound on that? That's all I got to say. I just wanted to see what you guys were posting before I came out.
Tyreek Hill there. It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaOfHollywood.com.
All right, and joining us this morning is Omar Kelly from the Miami Herald, who's been running a radio talk show with all the guys up in the stands. I had to yell at him a couple of days ago.
I was disrupting you, Joe?
No. You were getting Perk. I knew you were going after old Perk. You just you couldn't help yourself. Hey, we got a lot of things to get into. Tyreek, the stuff came up. You had reported what he had said and all those things. People, you know it. I see Florio picked it up, and everybody. Wow, when you talk about it, I don't think it's a big deal. But he said he wasn't going to be late. He's been late.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I think we're making a lot about nothing, because when he was producing 1,700 yards as a receiver, he was rarely ever there for stretch. Now,
You know how this works, though. It's not when you're playing great. It's when not and all the things are going on. Now they got some extra stuff to throw in there that you don't like, right?
Yeah. And here's the thing about Tyreek. You got to understand, every time you talk to Tyreek, half of the conversation, he's trolling. He's just saying things to get your attention, to create headlines. Joe, we are at the point in the media when we learn it's a Tyreek day, we go, just because he's going to say three things that some aggregator is going to pick up and think is serious. Like, I didn't know the offense for 3 years.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I don't know. I just don't. He did say that. I didn't understand the offense for 3 years. I didn't take notes for... I'm just taking notes for the first time.
I've never taken notes. This is the first time I'm taking notes. This is a daily thing with Tyreek. We have gotten to the point where we just ignore it because we know who Tyreek is, and he's saying things to get attention and troll, and it's not real. Like, there's not one media member who didn't think he was going to be late to practice again.
No, by the way,
late for stretch,
I don't even care about it. I like seeing a guy on the football field. That's all. I see. By the way, we've seen a better teammate on the field. We have seen a guy that you see him go run over to guys. I've noticed. You saw the effort. So he has really made it a point to act more like a leader on this team. Hey, hey. By the way, let's get in some other stuff. I just want to get that out of the way real quickly. Austin Jackson going to be out a few weeks. A right tackle, Larry Borum. Jackson Carmen and Keon Smith, what are your thoughts on everybody's going to get a shot at this, maybe even a new guy they just signed, but what do you think?
It's not good. None of the backups are good. Not so far. Larry Borum has been solid the last couple of days at right tackle. He's definitely not a left tackle. Neither is Ryan Hayes. They do not have a single left tackle on the roster. Keon Smith looked solid at left tackle the one day he worked earlier this week, and I was quite intrigued and interested to see what's the upside there. But, man, and this is crazy to say because fans are not going to get it, but, man, do I miss Liam Eichenberg.
We're up. When Eichenberg, do we have an idea when he's coming back? If they said they're hoping he's back for the start of the season, is that kind of the goal for Eichenberg right now?
Yeah, I'm assuming that was a knee scope, and the hope is that he'll be back for the start of the season. Maybe he be if he begins the year on IR, he missed 8 games. So more than likely they would have I don't know. That it's possible.
You think they're already thinking about him being a backup tackle when he comes back?
I think right now, Joe, and I'm being dead honest with you. Eichenberg's tackle stint is way better than anything I'm seeing now. So he is the backup at everything except for center, in my mind. Andrew Meyer has been very impressive. I think he's ready to be a number two center.
Yeah.
There was just no drop off when you watched him. When you watched him work with the unit while Aaron Brewer was out, and I was very impressed with him. Now, the rest of the backups, trash.
I don't
trash, Joe.
I know, but those guys got to get their feet wet and keep going, and they got to be in the drills like Mike's been running the last couple of days. A little more physical practice.
Yeah.
They need that work. They need to see everything. And they need to get kicked around a little bit and just get right back up. And we need one of those guys. I thought Keon Smith might be that guy. I know he's coming back from injury. I always thought he was an athletic guy.
I didn't like him at guard. I'm intrigued with what I'm seeing from tackle. Now that he's moved back to tackle, I'm like, okay, maybe there's something here. And I do understand he's coming back. He's probably a full year, 11 months into an ACL repair.
Yeah.
So I'm willing to give Keon Smith grace. Like, we got Myers, we got Keon Smith, and we got Liam, and then Borum's going to be here. And Borum has been better as the first team right tackle since. And it's like, I'm curious to see what it continues to look like. But he is definitely not a left tackle.
You don't think Brunskill, you're not a Brunskill fan, Daniel Brunskill. I want to see him playing these preseason games. I think he's going to move up a little bit. Yeah.
Absolutely. A lot of these guys need to play in a preseason game, and the action needs to be live. And I'm sure Alexander Mattison will help a lot of the offensive linemen because he's a pretty impressive back from what I've been looking at.
Me too.
I'm excited to see him when there's actual contact, people trying to tackle him. So, maybe my opinion of this offensive line, this backup offensive line, will change. But I will tell you this, Joe. I was getting excited for what I was seeing in those padded practices. Like, I went into the day Austin Jackson missed, I was really excited to see what was going to happen that day, Joe, at practice, because you saw the steady progression from the offense, first team offensive line. They were getting better and better and better. And then I was really excited to see if they were going to continue that trend upwards.
Yeah. No, listen, I'm with you, and I'm glad to see Mike's getting after it with these practices. So let's go to the other position. The cornerback position, Storm Duck has, I think, looked the best of the group so far. And then I see the orange jersey on, which means, he's playing pretty good. Sheffield, Armstrong, Hilton, Jones, anybody else for you?
Hilton Jones, Armstrong, Bonner. Bonner's in there. Bonner's probably the number four. Cam Smith, his days are numbered. I think that's pretty evident. I'm not even going to beat him up by talking about it. It is what it is.
He just needs to be on the field.
It's not just he needs to be on the field.
Yeah, but I saw coach's comments like, we listen, man, you're already kind of on double secret probation. We need to see you a little bit on the field, right? You got to be out there so we can evaluate you.
I don't ride with that, because you evaluate me and I'm not 100%. I'm dead man walking already. And a lot of his stuff is soft tissue stuff. So whether it's a hamstring or a groin, it's not going to get better without rest. We've been down this road before. The most realistic thing for Cam Smith, in my opinion, is he either begins the year on the IR or he's going to be released. Yeah. And that, because there's, I'm at the point now where there's no, he was already cornerback number six when he was healthy. I'm at the point it's time to move on. And I think based on Mike's comments, Chris Greer's comments, I think they're at the point where, okay, yeah, screw draft status. We just got to move on.
Hey, today's the day, man. Today's your day. I was just reminding you, today's Anthony Weaver day, that you got to go out and go, hey, coach, you know, guys don't seem to get a chance to really compete, to move up from day to day. And have you thought about it? And is Mike calling the shots? Or are you calling the shots? Is that kind of where you're going today?
It's on my agenda. It's not just a Mike issue. It's a every coach issue. But you're right. I got Weaver. I mean, I don't really know if there's any reasons for competition at this point at cornerback, because I think it's pretty clearly identified. We have our top four. We're going to see what that looks like. Mike Hilton really came alive yesterday as the nickel. He got a safety, produced probably a would-be sack that would kill a red zone drive. I saw the physicality that he plays with. He put that hit stick on Jalen Wright to get that safety. So, and according to Storm, him and he's pretty much stepping forward as the leader in that cornerback unit, because, as I've always said, it's the blind leading the blind in that room. And you need somebody with experience, and apparently it's him and Minka Fitzpatrick that are really being the vocal leaders and the guys in those meeting rooms that are helping guys get better and develop.
Omar, it seems like every day, and I'm just handpicking a couple guys. You want to add some more guys? Willie Gay and Alexander Madison do something. You just mentioned Madison bounces one, and it looks like a 20, 30, 40-yard run. And Willie Gay is always around the football, and I don't know how many interceptions he has now, but that guy makes a play damn near every day.
One interception, four drops. He's got a bunch of sacks. He's probably top five most impactful player of training camp. We in the media contingent, we got this running thing. I was supposed to confront Mike about it yesterday. We have this theory that the orange jersey is a fraud because primarily Willie Gay Jr. has not had it yet, and it is going to a lot of big name players. A lot of big name players, especially when the fans are out there, because you know they take pictures with the orange jersey player and they
Everybody goes, that guy had. I do the same thing. Like, oh, that guy must have had a hell of a practice yesterday. No, I get it. He had the best practice, and so you think coach is like, well, it was one of the best. I'm going with this guy. This would be good. Yeah.
We understand, and the only reason I didn't ask Mike was because Storm got it, and it wasn't for yesterday's practice. It was just for his body of work, the consistency. But I'm like, what does Willie Gay have to do? Does he have to give you two sacks and two interceptions a day to get the orange jersey? What more does this man have to do?
Well, I think everybody's noticed the work. Hey, by the way, and I'm not trying to get it stirred up, Quinn Ewers looks unbelievable. The throws and his arm strength.
No, I'm not.
He's just got to stay where he is. He made some throws yesterday over the weekend, and I had to look to see who was making the throws. His arm is stronger than I thought.
Yes, it is.
And his accuracy and seeing things, and again, he'll get his chances with Zach Wilson, and we'll see. Zach Wilson had a couple beautiful throws and in the back of the end zone, and Ezekama couldn't hold on to it, but boy, what a throw that was! Anyway, so I'm looking forward to this thing, but you feel any differently about the quarterback situation? Besides, Tua has been really good.
It's not going to open up and become a competition, but Quinn has been very impressive. It's not going to change the fact that he's going to be the number three quarterback. I think all it's done is convince them that they have to keep him on the 53. He's a young player that is definitely worth developing. And Zach Wilson is inconsistent. He's hot and cold. He has some accuracy issues. When he doesn't set his feet, it's a little problematic. Quinn is steady, and he has high highs. So the question is, if you continue to invest in that, what is it going to look like? And would I be willing to say in 2 years he could be potentially an NFL starter? I would at this point, because we've seen a lot. We've seen a lot. Now, does that mean he needs to be the number two? Probably not. But I'm not worried about the quarterback position moving into 2026 because I want to see where this young man goes and how much he develops.
Yeah. No. Listen, that is, I'm with you. And I thought over the weekend, and I was glad Bo wasn't sitting next to me because he's been all over this Quinn Ewers thing too, and he had a great weekend of practice. So, hey, real quick, I'll leave you with this one. I think the strength of the team right now might be the defensive front seven.
Of course.
Not even close for you. I mean, that from what you have outside, inside, and those linebackers, and I'm not even worried about those young guys. They look good.
Yeah. It's not even just the ones either. It's the twos, the Grayson Murphys, the Matt Dickersons, the Chop Robinsons. Those are three guys that are flashing every day. You got Willie Gay. That second team defense has four impactful players. So it should be commendable that a lot of those players are finds for Chris Greer. So props to him. I wish he was as good as finding offensive lineman as he is finding defensive players. So props to him for that. And props to him also for the Zach Sealer contract.
By the way, I was going to end you with the biggest slam yesterday, and that's Zach Sealer getting a 3-year, $67 million, $44 million guaranteed. They said they would get it done, and I'm with you. To the front office, ownership, that needed to get done. If there's a guy that I wanted to see get an extension – that didn't bully it, didn't pout, didn't just went about his business for 10 days of practice, is Zach Sealer.
Absolutely, no question about it. I think it's a good deal. I only evaluate deals based on guaranteed money. $44 million in guaranteed money. Hopefully it's fully guaranteed. I don't know, because Drew said on WSVN 7 that he's getting 34 over the first 2 years of the deal. So that would mean that in the third year, there's another $10 million guaranteed. I hope if that's the case, this is a great deal. Because I told you last week, I would tell them I want that Minka money. The Minka money's 32. Zach got 34 over the next two. And then you throw an extra 10, which is what he was going to make this year. It just makes sense. Now, could he have gotten more? Could he have held out more? Could he have squeezed more out of the team? Probably. But that's not Zach's way.
No, and Zach got the number he wanted. Zach wasn't looking at everybody else. Zach Sealer goes, this is what I want. This is going to take care of my lifestyle. I'm set. He has now got himself, he and his wife and the baby, his family, and he can have a big smile. But when you look at leadership, durability, and production, man, we gave it to the right dude. Hey, thank you so much, Omar. I got to run.
I did want to say this. Zach is like the Udonis Haslam here. I want Zach here his entire career, and I'm glad that they got this done because it really lays a good foundation for them and helps them change their reputation.
Yeah. Hey, listen, we're going to let you go, man. Thank you so much, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Omar Kelly, Miami Herald. Linebacker, defensive end, and pass rusher for the Miami Dolphins. Bradley, good morning. How you doing, Bradley?
Good morning, man. I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. And before we get into everything, I appreciate you joining us here early in the morning. You get a little lift in for me? Did you get you pump a few weights?
Got a quick little pump in, man. Start the day off strong. You know, we got practice today, so you know you have to start it off right.
I like that. You guys up early lifting weights. So first of all, I got to ask you, man. You sat out all of last year, and I know late in the year there was all this discussion. We are all going back and forth. I hope he doesn't come back and play. Let's just get ready for the following year. Meanwhile, you had to go through it. When did you feel like you were 100%? I'm always curious when you started to feel like, all right, I'm back to myself.
Honestly, man, probably like OTAs this year. Like, you know, you at the end of the season, I felt pretty good. I felt good. I was moving around good. But, you know, you coming off a major injury like that, it's like, oh, how am I really going to feel when things get real, when bullets start flying, you know? And, you know, when those game reps, those continuous reps. So, like, I felt good, but we didn't know if I felt good enough to fully go out there and be my best for this team. So, and then throughout the whole, you know, off-season program, you know, you feel good working out. But, like I said, it's not those real game-like reps. So, when we got into OTAs, I was still kind of, teetering the line a little bit, but then, you know, just getting those reps in, building that confidence on it, and that's when I started to finally feel like 100.
Well, you've gotten off to a great start at camp. Matter of fact, I got to tell you, sitting up there watching, everybody enjoys like, okay, hey, Bradley Chubb's getting ready to go against Patrick Paul. There they go again. That's become kind of the theme. How much fun has that been and for you to get your confidence early in this camp? Get it back.
It's been great, man. It's been great going against Patrick, man. He's a great young talent. He's only in year two, but he has the presence of a vet out there, man. His size, his strength. You know, it's frustrating at times when you're like, man, I should be, you know, beating this guy more. But when you take a look back at it, man, I feel like he's going to be one of the better pass protectors in this league. So it's been a good, fun challenge going against him, and we're just making each other better.
You know, I've been shocked on how quickly – I mean, he is the part. When they decide, like, what offensive tackle should look like, long arms, big, that can move like that, he's the guy, isn't he? That's what a guy 100%. Looks like. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. That's the prototype right there, man. I tell him every day, man, you're going to be a guy. You're going to be that guy. And, you know, he moves with that confidence. So it's beautiful to see, man. Like I said, it's fun going against him each and every day.
Bradley, it's not a shot at anybody else on the team, but it looks like the strength of this team is at front seven. And I say that not only front guys, but even some of the key guys that are backing up or will rotate in with you guys. It just looks like it's got a chance to be a really special group.
Yeah, man, we're excited about it. And, you know, especially in our outside linebacker room, man, we always talk about, you know, wanting to set the tone for the team. And the D-line is the same way. The linebackers are the same way. Everybody moves in that same kind of mindset in that front seven, man. And then the offensive line, man, we're going against them each and every day. It makes us better. And they got a couple new pieces over there. But the way that they're gelling together, man, has been beautiful to see. So I feel like on any team, it all starts in the trenches. And we take full pride in that and try to go out there each and every day and set the tone.
Hey, Bradley, I'm curious. You were around to watch it up close last year. Chop cut kind of off to a slow start. And then second half of the season, I don't know if they moved him out wide. There's got to be more than just that. But he just all of a sudden he started making a lot of plays and a lot of pressures, a lot of hits on the quarterback, some sacks. And what happened to Chop where the light all of a sudden, especially in that second half, what happened?
He woke up, man. He just got I tease him all the time. I used to call him his first – I'm not going to say his first name because he don't, you know, want people to know it. But I used to call him his first name, and I said, I'm not going to call you Chop until you get your first sack, man. And then, you know, after he got Josh Allen down, I started calling him Chop. And we just, you know, over that time, I was bored myself. So I used that time to kind of be a light and to all the guys, whoever I could help. And Chop was one of those guys that we just sat down and just watched games together, watched how other people go about a game and got the pressure of, oh, I got to make a play every play out of his head because we watching Max Crosby, we watching Jonathan Grenard. Like, these guys make big plays, but they're not like – every play is not like a big play. You know what I mean? It's just got it in his head of going through the process of going through a game and taking and making the plays that come to you. And I feel like once he got settled in and that and got comfortable with that, his talent just came to shine.
Bradley, you're probably aware of this stuff, and if you are, just thanks for putting up with me here. But, you know, the media is really focused on the young inexperience of the cornerback position. And yesterday, Anthony Weaver, the defensive coordinator, said, I'll tell you what's going to help those corners. Those guys up front, that front seven will help them a lot. You feel that way too? It all kind of works together?
Yeah, 100%. It's a tale as old as time. It works together. The rushing coverage works together in every way possible. And honestly, man, those guys, like, they get a lot of slack because nobody has really been talking about them in terms of, like, production because, they're young. They haven't played. But when you go out there on the practice field and you see the grit that they play with, the hard work that they come in each and every day with, like, the focus they have, I don't have any hesitation about what type of guys we're going to have on that back end. You know what I mean? So, like, yeah, they're not getting the notoriety because, like I said, they just haven't had those reps yet. But I feel like when they get out there, it's going to prove a lot of people wrong.
So, you knew Vic Fangio better than anybody. You had him in Denver. You had him here. So, you knew what to expect. He goes to Philadelphia, but Anthony Weaver comes in. Damn, I did not know he was going to be this good as a defensive coordinator. What's the biggest difference you've seen between Vic and Anthony as two of the better defensive coordinators in the league?
I would say, you know, Vic's scheme and how he approached it was, you know, he's his own man. He had success doing that, and he, obviously they went and won the Super Bowl with that defense, so you know the scheme works, you know all that stuff works. I would just say the
the inter like personal player relationship was a little different. You know, Vic is more of a like the system, the scheme, and that's what it is. And Coach Weaver, you know, just sit down and talk to you for a little bit. You know what I mean? And and kind of see where your headspace is at and all that. So that's the main difference. But I, you know, NFL, man, you got to be ready for all type of things, man. And I enjoyed both my time with Vic, and I'm enjoying my time with Coach Weaver now.
You know, I should have talked to you last year when you and I were talking, or when Vic was here. I wish you would have told me he doesn't like small talk, and because I yap a lot, and I tried at the hotel. I was trying to bond, and I realized he didn't want anything to do with it. I wish you would have been there going, Joe, I could have warned you. Don't make small talk.
That's what I pretty much said. That's the difference, man. Vic just doesn't like small talk. Coach Weaver can sit there and talk to you for a little bit, but Vic just doesn't like small talk. It's all ball. It's all ball.
We had fun. You know, Kim Bocamper. Bo decided we're getting ready. It was around Christmas, and he decided he's going to go over and talk about Christmas before the Kansas City Chiefs game, or about missing Christmas.
I know that didn't go well.
Yeah, that did not go well. He was zoned in on that game plan. Let's just say that. Oh, we got a good laugh, man. But I know what you're talking about. I thought it was, hey, listen, the guy's a hell of a coach. But Anthony Weaver got some personality, man. He is great, and being able to talk to him, he just looks like I enjoy listening to him talk about the whole defense and all the things that you guys are going to be able to do. You see a lot of blitzing with – I mean, he'll do whatever it calls for. You see this team blitzing, or do you see it getting enough pressure with just the guys you have?
I feel like Coach Weaver is a very calculated man when it comes to how he calls the defense. So if he feels like we might need to heat it up a little bit at a time, I feel like he watches so much. He knows the flow of the game so well that he knows how to time it up. But I feel like consistently, man, I feel like this front seven could get it done. And we had that confidence in ourselves, and he has that confidence in us as well. But, you know, sometimes you might need that little extra pressure just to when the offense isn't expecting it.
Hey, so the practices, again, I don't know, and if I'm wrong, don't be afraid to tell me you're wrong. They seem more physical, like you guys more 11-on-11 getting after it pretty good. You feel that way this year?
That's 100% the case, man. I feel like – in the past, you know, we've had, you know, obviously training camp practices always go, but it had been more separate time or, you know, just kind of individual time or, like, you know, just defensive time. But, yeah, not like this year. I feel like we're a lot hands-on with the 11-on-11, getting those reps, which I love, man. Being out of football for a year, just those reps are valuable. So it's been a great camp. You know, guys are tired. Guys are moving along, but it's so cool to see how this team just bounces back each and every day, and I feel like the practices get more intense each and every day because everybody's out there hungry.
The culture and the leadership, man, has been noticed. I wasn't around during mini camps and OTAs, but I've noticed from all you guys, including yourself, you feel it too. There's a lot of leaders out there, more guys taking their groups and going, this is the way we're going to do it, and everybody's kind of following along.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like this is the most buy-in we've had from all around. You know, guys are, you know, just fed up with the outside noise, with the losing, with the, you know, being so close but not getting fully where we're at. And that all starts with the little things. So I feel like this offseason and even this training camp, man, just guys are just laser-focused on the small details and the, you know, just the little things that hold you back as a team. We're focused on not having that hold us back. And, you know, it could go one way or the other, but we're going to continue to focus on those things and make sure we're moving along as a unit.
Hey, Minkah Fitzpatrick has already made a couple plays in practice, and I'm like, damn, boy, this is nice to see, whether you're backed up or in the middle of the field, some of the plays he's making. That's a nice piece to add to that secondary, especially with the way he has played over the last 6 or 7 years.
Yeah, man, it's very exciting, man, having them back there. And it's just instilling confidence in those young guys we got back there as well, you know, playing with a guy like that, playing with an all-pro who's done it at the highest level, who's seen a little bit of everything. So it's going to be good for us. That, like you said, that rushing coverage is going to work together, and when you got a guy like that holding down the back end, it's going to be fun.
All right, and yesterday, man, day off, and there you are at the Boys and Girls Club, back to school. Do you do that every year? That is awesome.
It's actually my first year, man. I've, you know, seeing some guys around the league do it every now and then, and I told my team and my mom that and my father that I feel like this is our time to do it in Miami, you know, because you want kids to have that confidence going into school, and with the haircuts, with the school supplies, not feeling like they're lacking anything. So it was important for us to make that happen, and I'm glad we were able to do it.
I'm with you, man. I think it just means a lot to those kids to see you and to going out there and doing that on your off time. It's great stuff, Bradley. Hey, man, I can't thank you enough for coming on, man. It was great, and I can't wait. It's always fun to talk to you. Always so positive about everything, and keep everybody healthy, and let's get off to a good start against the Colts. So thank you, bud.
Yes, sir. Sounds good. Appreciate you. Have a good one.
All right. Bradley Chubb joining us here this morning. All right, Woody. Always great having this guy. Deep diving, Chris Perkins from the Sun Sentinel, Dolphins columnist, and does some great stuff with the Dolphins and has been now for a while. Perk, how are you this morning?
Big Joe, I'm excited, man. I want to see what this quarterback battle looks like today. Zach Wilson and Quinn Ewers. Want to see what this run game looks like without Austin Jackson and Alec Ingold. A lot of stuff to see today.
Yeah. Hey, before we get into all that stuff, I thought Anthony Weaver, I listened to all the coaches' stuff. I know you were there. I thought he was unbelievable talking about his corners. Like, hey, they're here. We got to just keep peeling pieces off there, but we're getting to it. And he brought up some names. I always read into the names that come to the brain first. Did you kind of feel that way, too, with Jack Jones and Ethan Bonner and Jason Marshall and going with Sheffield? And Matt caught that. Did you catch that? And obviously Storm Duck, who's had a great camp.
Yeah, I caught that, Joe. And I'll say this, man. The players love Weave, and I really like Weave. He's very positive. You know, he's a former player, so they relate to him on that level. I mean, the guy had the number 4 defense in the league last year, number 9 against the run, so you've got to listen when he talks. Having said all that, Joe, that's a bit of a sales job he was doing, because I'm not seeing it. I'm seeing good stuff from Storm Duck. He's one of the stars of camp. But Sheffield had a rough day yesterday, Joe, a very, very rough day, especially in deep coverage. I'm not seeing anybody else yet emerge from that cornerback group aside from Storm Duck. We'll see what Jack Jones and Mike Hilton can do, Jones on the boundary and Hilton in the slot. We'll see what Cornell Armstrong can do in the slot. But joint practices are going to tell a lot. But at this point, Storm Duck is the only guy that I've seen that looks like he's of starting caliber right now.
You know, it's funny, and it's a good opportunity for these guys. But you look at Sheffield, he hasn't played much football the last couple of years. He's played a little special teams. But you got to go back a few years on some of these guys since they played, and you're like, man, this is a great opportunity. But I think at some point you get exposed, like you said, of like, hey, your special teams might be your best way to get on this team. Hey, the quarterback situation, I thought, and you and I know people get on us a little bit, and they're getting on me, and they're pointing to you the other day at camp, and Omar's giving you the business every time Quentin Ewers makes a good throw. I caught that, and I had to tell him to stop doing a radio show over there, you know. It was embarrassing and all that. Quentin Ewers, every time I go out there, you're there all the time. He has a really good practice and makes a lot of good throws.
He does. He does. He's shown a lot, you know, and especially for a seventh-round pick, Joe. You know, this is a guy that he's got low expectations as a seventh-round pick, and he's come in and he's done everything that's been asked of him. I'll say this, though. Zach Wilson was my stock up yesterday. We give a stock up and a stock down. And the reason why, none of the quarterbacks had an especially great day. Tua probably had his worst day yesterday. A lot of incompletes, missed Tyreek, a wide-open Tyreek on a deep one. Tyreek had beaten Sheffield, and Tua overthrows him. He underthrew Tyreek on another deep ball. But what I liked about Zach was he had a bad day on Sunday. They were off on Monday. He comes back on Tuesday. He throws 3 touchdown passes. And we saw on Sunday he had that bad interception to Jordan Colbert, the safety. Yeah. Nobody's around. Looked like a miscommunication. We didn't see any of that yesterday. Zach Wilson had cleaned up all that stuff. He threw some nice passes, and I liked the way he bounced back, Joe. It showed me that mentally he's got a little bit of toughness to him. It showed me that he has the ability to correct some errors, and he got his receivers on the same page with him also. So for all of that, I liked what I saw. That's why I gave him my stock up, and he threw more touchdown passes than either of the other two quarterbacks.
Chris, the national media is hitting the drama side a little bit. You know who? So Tyreek comes out and says Devon Achane shouldn't be running on short yardage. We've got three big backs. It should be. He said two, but there's three big backs. They should get the ball. By the way, a lot of us probably agree with that. Not sure it should come from your wide receiver. But anyway, people are saying Mike seemed frustrated with the comment. You think he was frustrated, or are they just used to it? And they're just worried about him playing football, and they don't care what he says.
Tyreek's going to Tyreek, right? I mean, he can't help being himself. He's always going to say the quiet part out loud, Joe, and I think Mike knows that now. It's a little bit frustrating, but look, Tyreek was 100% right. I mean, he was 100% right. And the problem before was you didn't really have that big back. Remember, they released Chris Brooks. And they really didn't have anybody to fill that role. I thought Jeff Wilson was more of a slasher than a power back. Now you've got somebody with power in Alexander Mattison. We'll see what Ollie Gordon II can do, the sixth-round pick out of Oklahoma State. But I give Tyreek credit. He said what needed to be said, just like Tua said what needed to be said about Tyreek. So, I think both of those guys were right in each instance. And now let's see if the Dolphins make some changes. Because you can't keep running Devon Achane up the middle on third and one and in short yardage situations. Yeah. You need power and force. And that's why you got Jonah and James Daniels also, right, at guard.
That's right. Hey, practices have been a lot more physical. Have you noticed? It's obvious they're getting after it a lot more.
They have. And look, Joe, and what I've said and written is, I like those top two draft picks of the last two drafts because they do represent a little bit of a commitment to the trenches, right? When you look at Chop Robinson and Patrick Paul last year and Kenneth Grant and Jonas Avaiinaia this year, you're getting some big guys, some guys who can do some work at the line of scrimmage, which has been a weakness for the Dolphins. And we are seeing some more physical practices now. They're being a little smarter. Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb didn't take as many snaps yesterday. That's why we saw them running those sprints. That's what they do when they know they're not going to take as many reps. They keep it going by doing some sprints. So we've seen some smarts by not playing Phillips and Chubb as many reps as maybe they normally would, but we've seen more physicality. Hopefully that translates, big backs on third and one, all that kind of stuff, Joe. I hope it translates to the regular season.
Who's been the third best receiver for 2 weeks?
Ooh, that's a good question because it's been up in the air. Malik Washington has showed us stuff as a slot guy. I'm still waiting for Nick Westbrook-Akini to show us something. He's the big-bodied 6'2", 211-pounder. He had, eight or nine touchdowns for Tennessee last year, and I think five were in the red zone or something like that. We have not seen that version of NWI yet. Hopefully we see it. Taj Washington has showed us some stuff. But nobody has really stepped up and emerged as a number three target, whether it's a tight end, a slot receiver, an outside receiver. I mean, Achane had 78 receptions last year, and you don't have a Jonnu or a tight end to take up 88. We don't know what's going on with Darren Waller, Joe. I don't know how you get in football shape without playing football, Joe. You can explain that one to me. But I don't know who's going to be the number three wide receiver or the number three receiving target at this point.
Yeah. Hey, so Austin Jackson's going to be out. I'm guessing maybe won't play again till the season starts and give him all the time he needs, but maybe he's back for the last week. But either way, who's a front runner for you from what you've seen? They've rotated three guys in there at that right tackle position. Who do you see as a front runner for that job if they're going to have to play a lot in the preseason anyway?
Yeah, right now it's Larry Borum, but they might have to go off roster, Joe, because what they've had out there, and I'll say this, that's for the tackles on both sides. I don't know that they have a backup left tackle either, but we're talking right tackle here. And you know, when you see all these reports about the backup edge rushers, Grayson Murphy and Quentin Bell and Derek McClendon and Cam Good and Mo Kamara, they're eating off of these backup. Yeah. Offensive tackles, left and right tackles. And we'll see in Chicago whether these backup edge rushers are that good or whether the Dolphins are leaky at backup tackle. I think the Dolphins are leaky at backup tackle. Larry Borum, Ryan Hayes, they're putting Keon Smith out there. But nothing has seemed to work for them so far. I'll say this also about Zach Wilson and getting the stock up yesterday. This guy was under tremendous pressure, Joe. I mean, these edge rushers were coming at him one after the other, and he didn't panic also. But I'm worried about the entire backup offensive line. I'm worried about Andrew Meyer at center has been the best backup offensive lineman out there on the field. But I'm worried about every position on the backup offensive line. I think if the starters stay healthy, they can be good. But as we've seen with this offensive injury.
We haven't seen much of that.
Yeah, right. We haven't seen much of that. So they might have to go off roster.
Yeah, starting five don't know each other. Seems like one guy comes back, another guy goes down, and they have not spent a lot of time together. So that leads me to the next one. How much do you play Tua Tagovailoa here in the preseason, including this first game against Chicago with so many guys, it looks like, around the league? Burrow, Trevor Lawrence, Geno Smith, Kyler Murray, all these guys going to start game one.
Yeah, I think they probably stick to what they did last year with Tua. What do you get, like one series?
Yeah, not
much.
And
you know what, Joe, when they got Brett Gabbert as the number four quarterback, I thought that meant, okay, that means Tua is definitely not going to play because you have Zach Wilson and you got Quinn Ewers, and if one of them gets hurt, then you got Brett Gabbert and blah, blah, blah. And then they released Gabbert and signed Chris Myrick, the tight end, because Ingold is out. So, but having said all of that, I think it's still going to be a Zach Wilson, Quinn Ewers kind of deal in the games. And if one of them goes down, the other one just has to play all that time, or you go to the emergency number three quarterback. I don't think they're going to risk putting Tua out there.
All right. So, just to follow up on this thing, I was out there all weekend. Quinn Ewers just threw the hell out of the football. So, I kept looking at you, going, "Damn, Perkai." You know, are we right, Perk? I mean, we've been hanging on this one. We're getting a lot of pressure. You know, everybody wants that open competition. You see Quinn Ewers any situation in this preseason? Because Skylar Thompson was the greatest tease of all time as a seventh-round pick.
You
see Quinn Ewers getting that backup job any situation? And I know what coach has already said, Zach's the guy.
No, I don't see that situation for two reasons, Joe. Number one, it's political. And what I mean is, you know that Mike McDaniel said Zach Wilson is a direct, calculated target. They've had problems developing and identifying a number two quarterback. How's it going to look if the seventh-round pick overtakes your direct, calculated target? You're going to look like you don't know what you're talking
about.
Great call. Number one. And then number two is, you know, Quinn Ewers is a seventh-round pick. I mean, I don't know that you're going to trust him that much. And, you know, if Quinn was a second- or third-round pick, I don't know that the reviews would be so high, right? Expectations are low when you're a seventh-round pick. And then the other thing is you're paying Zach $6 million. So I think that short of injury, there's probably no way that Quinn Ewers becomes the number two quarterback.
Perk, you got my attention on the $6 million. That got me. There was no question you got me on that one. So the biggest thing you're going to be looking at when you go up there, Chicago, for the practice and then the preseason game as well, what would it be?
I'm not going up there. David Ferones is going up there. But Joe, I'm going to be looking at the line of scrimmage and the toughness because, you know, Chicago is a team that wanted to protect Caleb back there at quarterback. And they improved that offensive line, or they think they did. Let's see what the Dolphins can do against them. Let's see if the Dolphins' toughness shows up there at the line of scrimmage. And like I said, I like what they've done the last 2 years at the top of the draft. Let's see if that surfaces. What can Jonah do? What can Kenneth Grant do? What are we going to see from Patrick Paul, you know, who has had a great camp? I want to see if all this stuff that we've seen of Dolphins versus Dolphins translates to Dolphins versus Bears.
Yeah, and that's the strength of the team. I've been saying it looks like that front seven defensively and the backups, as you said, everybody seems to be, every time they line up against this Dolphins offense, twos or threes, like you said, the backups seem like they're getting two and three sacks of practice. Perk, thank you so much, man. Appreciate it.
All right, Joe. We'll talk again.
All right. Chris Perkins, Sun Sentinel Dolphins columnist, joining us this morning to talk a little bit about different parts of the team as they get set to head to Chicago tonight. All right, we say good morning to everybody. Nothing like a little Zach Sealer first thing in the morning to make you feel pretty damn good, man, when you see a guy again put in all that work and gets rewarded and got a number that he felt comfortable with and ran with it and is thankful for every dime he's ever made. The journey getting here to this point and being the MVP of the Miami Dolphins last year and everything else. Had his family with him yesterday. A pretty cool moment. I think everybody's jacked up to for that guy to be one of the leaders of your team, which they got a lot of really good leaders on that team right now. In different parts of the team, too. Kind of spread out. Anyway, hey, a lot of stuff yesterday. The coaches spoke. Hey, listen, man, when I'm always curious when you've got some parts of the team and you don't know how they are, I'd love to hear from the coaches. I do. And we've got some parts of this team that are really good and some that have to develop. Everybody knows we've beaten all these different parts up. And I just thought Anthony Weaver, the Finns defensive coordinator yesterday, was really good on the whole group and talked about his young corners. Hey, these are the guys that we have. I love them. We can play with them. We're going to win with them. He mentioned names. I'm always curious for the first names to pop up for the coach. Storm Duck, Ethan Bonner, Hilton Sheffield. And then he was asked a lot about Jack Jones, who's got lots of talent. And the coach is just he's a real positive guy, but he's got a really good game plan. He feels good, and he says, hey, this defense is going to be really friggin' good. It's going to be really good. Now, I didn't expect him to go up there and go, man, you know, this is kind of like draft day, you know, when the draft's over, and a GM stands up and goes, man, we got every guy we want. We are pumped. We got the guys. We got the guys we needed, and nobody's ever going to say, you know, like, hey, well, I wish, you know, we could have this guy or that guy. But, you know, one thing about coaches, man, whatever you give them, they look at the head coach and the GM and go, we'll be fine. Because they're going to coach them up. They're going to put them in situations. They're going to give them a chance to have success. And that's what the good coaches do. That's what the good coordinators do. That's what the coaches do. Coach them up. You know how coaches look good. Coaches look good when their area, the position that they're responsible for plays well and guys are playing at a high level individually. And this happens, and people go, hey, who's coaching this guy? Damn, that guy's doing a good job. And the Dolphins have some of those coaches. They have a lot of really, really good coaches on this staff. And so a lot of good stuff going on yesterday. I just love listening to Coach Bevel as well, talking about the quarterback situation. And saying, hey, man, Zach Wilson has some scars. And we got to get rid of them. We got to help them get rid of those scars, better known as the Jets. And, you know, he got beat up pretty good mentally. He got beat up physically. And I'm guessing lost his confidence, right? Part of that, like Tua said one time, I lost my confidence. I didn't get it back till Mike got here. So it's a quarterback rehab that with a guy they think has lots and lots of talent. And Quinn Ewers has been, no matter what I think or who should start, I don't change how the you know, right now if the season was to start, I'd want Zach Wilson to be the backup just because he's seen things. There's something to be said for 33 starts and lots of experience, even if it's not always a great experience. But I got to tell you, man, and a lot of you have been asking for this, and a lot of you were right. Draft a guy that you like, that might have dropped for whatever reason. If you liked him on the board and it wasn't a priority, take a quarterback. And we might have that guy in Quinn Ewers down the road. He might be that guy. I saw him over the weekend and, you know, just kind of watched a couple things before the game on Sunday. And one of them, because we're going to see a lot of Zach Wilson and Quinn Ewers in this preseason. That's who usually plays. They split it up. I don't know how much Tua's going to play. He didn't play a lot last year. And he looked really good. He makes a lot of really good throws and accurate throws. And you start looking at a guy, and listen, one thing Quinn's been hurt by is Skylar Thompson. Skylar Thompson has hurt Quinn Ewers. I figured this out because everybody goes, if you want to make an argument against Quinn Ewers, you go, Skylar Thompson. Looked great. Everybody was in love with him. The GM comes out and says, we got to keep him. We're going to have like a whole bunch of teams going to take him. If we put him on the practice squad, we have to put him on the 53-man squad. And some of that stuff, and then he gets in big games, and you start, you know, like, all right, you need him. Tua goes down. And honestly, at no point was he really good. I mean, look at the games we won. Or game we were close. We were close against the Buffalo Bills, but the defense just was creating takeaway. I mean, it was very misleading. Very, very misleading. And we came back. Whoever made the final decision on it, it's over. But I'm just setting you up for a little history lesson that's tied into Quinn Ewers, in my opinion. So now some of you have been watching going, damn, this Quinn Ewers, this guy I saw from Texas, this guy can throw it. Plus people, you know, Quinn Ewers was hurt last year. So we never got to see the best of him because the guy was hurt. He was hurt a lot. And you watch him now, and he's got a really good arm, which Coach Bevel said it's not a rocket, but it's plenty good to play in this league. And he's right. He makes all the throws, and he's thrown some tight spirals, and he's just been really impressive. But he is hurt because he's a seventh-round pick, and we just had this happen with Skylar Thompson over the last couple years. And it finally came to an end. Basically, after the Seattle game, it was done. It was done. Hell, they cut him later in the year. It's not me. They cut him. So I just, it's going to slow everybody down, but Quinn's in a great, I think he's in a great position, man. He is a former five-star quarterback. Happened to see his high school while my son was living out there, and very impressive. It's like high school quarterback you, man, of for NFL quarterbacks, and he's just the latest one. Five-star guy, went to Ohio State before transferring to Texas. And look, he's got a chance. He's got a chance down the road to be really good. But he is going to be stuck, in my opinion, and fair or not for some people, to Skylar Thompson, who, if I'm not mistaken, was also taken in the seventh round, maybe sixth round, seventh round. So anyway, I just wanted to bring that up yesterday as the coaches were talking about their guys and different positions. I'd love that those guys come out and they do that. I don't know if it's an NFL rule, but it's great to have all those coaches out there talking a little bit about their guys, and for future use for everybody. It was just good stuff, and for both sides of the football. We got a lot of stuff. Matter of fact, Bradley Chubb, defensive end, pass rusher, is off to a nice start in camp and will join us this morning in 6 o'clock hour. We'll have that for you a little bit later on. He's lifting some weights here this morning, and then we'll talk about what probably is the strength of the team right now, and that's the front seven defensively. And looks like it's got a little depth to it too, the kind of depth that you're looking for when you're looking not only for frontline guys, but guys also that can give you quality snaps and help you later in the season when some guys get banged up. So all that stuff is great. Hey, by the way, got to get in some other things this morning. So I'm always interested in all the stuff going around the league, and the shows are great if you want to keep up, especially if it's affiliated with the Dolphins and the Dolphins are going to be playing teams. Like, I like to watch the stuff going on with the Colts right now because that's our first regular season game on the road. And then the Patriots coming back home for our home opener the following week. And I get it's a month out. So with that, you get all the other stories that are going on right now in the NFL. Do you see what's going on with the Browns? I don't know if I've ever seen a team in camp. Now, I've seen guys get banged up during the year and guys go on IR and you get down to – I don't know if I've ever seen a guy team 2 weeks into camp that just signed a sixth quarterback.
Not two, not three, not four, not five, not six.
There you have it.
Not seven.
Oh, LeBron, stop, 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 stop. LeBron, stop. But Tyler Huntley now joins two draft picks, couple of first-round picks, and Deshaun Watson, who they can't wait to get rid of. That is the mistake of mistakes made that they wish would just – they wish something would happen where he would just go away. And so he's out
they
there.
They just book him a massage.
Yeah, maybe.
Hey, we got you a little surprise here. You book him at the local, you know, massage chain.
Oh, down here.
No, wherever, anywhere.
He ain't going anywhere.
What's the massage envy of Cleveland?
He go, hey, man, I got guaranteed money coming in. It's not over. I'm not going away. You fully guaranteed it, and I want to thank you. Now, let all these guys compete. So, you got – it's just weird. They have not played a preseason game yet, and they had to go out and sign Tyler Huntley, who was with the Dolphins last year from Hallandale High School. Tyler Huntley had to come in because they are that banged up with – they're two rookies, Joe Flacco. Who am I missing?
It's so weird. Joe Flacco's still in the league.
Joe Flacco's going to start.
You got the Sanders kid. You got Gabriel. You got
the guy from the Steelers and
Huntley. So
anyway, yeah. Kenny Pickett.
Oh, Pickett.
Yeah,
there,
Kenny Pickett.
Yeah.
There you go. Anyway.
How many they keep? What do they keep? Three? Half of them? Hey, man, it's a great quarterback competition. They're really doing the Sanders kid a great service
but I got to tell you,
setting him up like this.
If we did something like that, and listen, we've had our moments, but if we were sitting here with six quarterbacks today, can you imagine? And that's a knowledgeable, beaten-up fan base in Cleveland. Can you imagine you're 2 weeks in, and now they're coming out that some of the young guys haven't played well, and Joe Flacco just gets older, and it's just he's becoming the clear-cut guy. Now, I don't know if he can play all year or how he plays. I mean, age does win, but what a crazy story. Six quarterbacks signed under contract 2 weeks in.
Do you realize their quarterback situation there is worse than ours has been during this whole, like, deal here? I mean, do you see, like, the guys that they've played? Over the last two seasons alone, Joe, they played four guys each year.
It's just
Flacco played a bunch, Dorian Thompson Robinson, Jeff Driscoll.
Yeah, no, I was going to say a lot of those guys
Bailey
they got
Zappi
rid of.
Was on
they
this
just,
game for a
they
minute
just,
there,
they
game.
Were like, all right, you got us through that year, we're out, and it just
and PJ Walker,
and it comes back, and it almost feels, although you got to give the rookies both a chance, but it just feels dysfunctional. And then on top of it, you got guys with arm trouble and their arms hurting and guys banged up. And you're like, banged up? How do quarterbacks get banged up in camp?
Well, they ruin these
guys.
They
get sore arms.
They draft these guys and they ruin them. Like, that's why you don't want to go there. Like, Shedeur Sanders in a bad spot, man.
Yeah, it's
– like, I don't know if he's going to make the team or not, Joe, but if he doesn't make that team, he ends up off that roster. He may never get a shot.
Yeah.
How does he work his way into getting actual snaps in an NFL game?
I don't know. I think – did I see his arm? He's got a little soreness
in
his arm.
Yeah, he's got something going on. But he was talking and said the right things about his dad not being at practice, which is obviously ideal for him, right, to not have Deion out there.
Last thing he needs is his father to come down, yeah.
But there's a legitimate chance, and I know they love covering him, but there's a chance that guy never plays. I don't know how he works his way into a starting role.
You know what? All bets are off in this Cleveland thing to sit there with six quarterbacks and you haven't finished your second week of camp. That is amazing.
I mean,
they're
over
doing
a
things.
Times for driving.
Well, I don't even care about that. I'm literally talking. You're talking a little drama. I'm literally talking about six quarterbacks signed, and one has got the biggest, fattest guarantee, and you can't. And he's like, "I'm not leaving this meeting." Oh hell no. I'm staying right in here and watch.
Our quarterback situation sounds great compared to some of these other ones, though, man. It is amazing.
Well,
that Colts
listen,
thing's a disaster, too.
That one is one to watch. Anyway, that was just something I saw yesterday, and I go, wow, something new in the NFL. By the way, there's something else, too, that happened I thought was really interesting. I saw the Jacksonville head coach was on NFL Network and said Travis Hunter can be the offensive and defensive rookie of the year. And all I thought was, how much are you going to play this guy? How much? Now, they got him as the depth chart came out. They got him as starting wide receiver and second for whatever the depth chart's worth. I know we're not even camp 2 weeks, so don't read into a depth chart. But they got him starting at wide receiver and second team cornerback. And they said, listen, they said he's been great everything he does out there. But how much? Now, he played a lot last year. I saw his amount of snaps he played. He did everything last year. He friggin' earned that Heisman. There's no question about it. Four picks and all the catches and yards and touchdowns. It was crazy. Definitely his Heisman. Slam dunk, period. I love Cam Ward, but slam dunk, that guy deserved it. But I got to tell you, man, that'd be wild if he somehow won the Rookie of the Year on both sides. And, you know, he gets four or five picks, and he catches 60, 70 footballs. He'll get some kind of award. I just don't know how you're going to hold up at this league.
Most wide receivers and cornerbacks can't, I mean, alone, right? Like, it's a miracle those guys make it through a season.
Well, I just hey.
Tyreek's been about as durable as there is, right?
He has.
He's been banged up.
He's banged up, but he does play. But this guy,
no way. This
gonna be
both ways.
This is this gonna be fun to watch and see how they use him. By the way, he'll be here for our last week for open practices. And speaking of open practices, I just want to say this to everybody. Like, don't pay attention to those tickets. Just go out. Just seriously, go out. If you want to go out and you've been held up because all the tickets have been used, because a lot of people are going to want to go out and watch the last week before the last week of preseason, the Jacksonville game back here after the Dolphins play in Chicago and Detroit, just go out there. And if they get you, you're most likely going to get it. Just go out. And if not, I mean, they'll wait and they'll see how full it is, but go out. There's a really good chance you're going to be able to watch practice.
It's pretty empty out there, right? A lot of empty seats.
Well, they take all the tickets. Everybody takes all the friggin' tickets.
Well, is there a resale market for those? Are people reselling?
No, they just don't go.
Okay, because if things are free or cheap, you know, people usually jump on them and try to flip them.
No, these are just freebies, and nobody's out there. They're just free, and so people get up in the morning and go, you know, I say, oh, I had a few too many tequilas. Like, you know what? I'll go to another practice. I just keep taking their tickets. And when we feel like going, we get up one morning, we'll go. All right, welcome back. And good morning, everybody in South Florida. 104.3 FM, WQAM. Never thought I would say anything with QAM and FM. Never, ever thought this day would happen. I do want to say this, though. Ashley was a good friend of mine, and I really liked her, who did the morning show before switching, and I wish her only the best as this day and everything else. But for sports listeners to be able to call yourself a South Florida radio station because you are going from Key West up to Jupiter, we've actually put out the calls. You guys have been wonderful, and we really appreciate it where you are, and you can hear us this morning on FM. I know a lot of different ways to reach out to us and see what's going on in sports down here, either from here or got your favorite teams and wonder what's going on. Well, I'll tell you that. Miami Dolphins getting ready to set practice this morning against Chicago Bears, and then the game. And by the way, we can talk about these practices, and they're great for the veteran players and stuff. They are. They're good for everybody. But I don't care what anybody says. The preseason is still really important for draft picks and young guys and the back end of your roster. I don't care what anybody says. That's never going to change. Whether we get down to three preseason games, two, one, there's always going to be a place for a preseason game, in my opinion, for young guys. You got to see what they can do. And no matter what these practices look like, they're not going to look like a preseason game. Those guys are going to be, they know when those lights go on and they're on TV. There's a reason those games are on TV and the practice isn't. And you got to go hard. You got to get noticed. man, I still remember my first couple of preseason games in the friggin' heat at the Orange Bowl, and we had a preseason game my rookie year in Seattle, Woody. Seattle.
But you guys played, I mean, he played the starters, right?
He did play starters some, yes.
Okay.
Not the whole game, but yes.
So do you think starters should play?
I don't care.
Quarterback included.
I don't care if starters play, but I'm glad you brought that up. It's a great question. No, I don't care if Tua goes to the coach, goes to Mike and says, I'm good, I don't need any work. Now, he's already said he wants to play because he saw a whole bunch of guys going to play. Joe Burrow played. Hell, he threw 10, 11 passes last night. But, like, Larry Borum is starting to right tackle right now. His ass needs to play. He needs to get his feet wet and play better. And honestly, outside of James Daniels, Aaron Brewer, and Patrick Paul, listen, you hear me? Patrick Paul doesn't need to play a lot either. He is playing his ass off right now. They know. Now, they're going to get some work with him. But the rest of those guys, all those other 10 or 12 guys on the offensive line, they need to play a lot. We got to find out if any of them can play to help you.
I'm with you. I'm not with you on the QB1 thing. He needs to sit his ass on the sideline.
And Hill and Waddle, if he goes, no, Tyreek Hill's not going to play. And Waddle doesn't need to play.
Absolutely not.
But honestly, the rest of you, your ass needs to play. I can go around the thing. Devon Achane does not need to play. Jalen Wright, Madison, and Gordon, they need to play. 2, 3, and 4. So Zach Wilson and Quinn Ewers, I want to see. You're guessing right with me. They're going to play most of the three quarters, if not
and then
all.
We'll come in on Monday, and everyone can talk about how Quinn Ewers should be the starting quarterback for the Dolphins.
Can you imagine? That's going to be.
I imagine? Yeah, I went through Skylar Thompson. So, yes, I can imagine.
Quinn Ewers goes 12 for 15, and Zach Wilson goes 3 for 10.
Yeah, against the Bears, their practice squad. Yeah.
Right, and they're going, I knew it.
He carved them up.
Quinn Ewers should have been a second-round pick. Yep. I always love to, if you like Quinn Ewers and you liked him at Texas, because I already got this. Somebody really liked him, sat next to me at practice, and he goes, yeah, Joe, he's throwing a real. I go, yeah, he's made some great throws on him out here. He's unbelievable.
So he wants his name on that.
And he
right?
goes, he says, you know, he should have been a second round pick. At least. He was supposed to go in the second round, but he was injured. Mm-hmm. Now he's healthy. But I will tell you, Quinn Ewers throws it a lot better than I thought. He's got a lot more zip on the ball than I thought he did coming out on the throws I was watching at Texas last year.
Okay.
But those are guys we want to see, right? Back to the original.
Yeah. But, like, again, you can't overreact, though, because we went through this already with guys looking really good in preseason games against practice squad players. So
true.
A little tough to overreact there, isn't it?
No. You're right.
But you know we're going to get that on Monday. I promise you. We get it before. The guy hasn't played a snap yet. We get that stuff.
But you saw it last night. Like, the guys you don't know, or maybe you do know because they went to your college or they're in a conference you follow, they're playing their ass off last night. A lot of those guys are going, I need to make some plays.
The only thing I took away from last night was Anthony Richardson looked like he got hit by a truck. And that is why I do not want QB1 out there at all. What if someone misses a block? I mean,
no,
I don't know what happened on that play, but
Woody, it's a good point.
It's just, man. And by the way, if Tua took that hit.
So my take is, being around Tua, he's going to want to play at some point. He goes, Coach, I need to play some. Whether it's going to be the first game, the second game, or the third game, I want to play a little bit with my guys.
That's never been a knock on Tua, right? He never talked about retiring, any of that stuff that everybody else did it for him. Yeah.
Everybody's ripping the team, and he goes, why are you ripping the team? I've already said it's my choice, and I'm playing. I know what could happen down the road.
That's not one thing you can knock the guy for. Absolutely not. But you can save him from himself and not play him in the preseason, Joe, unless you're going to do some, you know, some handoffs or something out there. But it's very risky.
You know who I want to see? I want to see Kenneth Grant, Savanaya, Jordan Phillips, Jason Marshall. I don't know if Dante Trader is going to play or not. He's in and out with this. Is he a soft tissue guy? I think he is.
Did you ever figure out the difference?
Ollie Gordon. And Quinn Ewers and Zeke Biggers. I want to hear from all of them. I want to see those guys all play. I want to see the guys you drafted play and play well and get noticed. I want to hear or see, whether you're listening on the radio or watching Bo and Goldie, and they're going, hey, man, this Zeke Biggers, wow, Georgia Tech, big man, 6'6", 320. He'd made four or five plays behind the line of scrimmage. I want to hear that. I want to hear that kind of stuff. So anyway, that's what this is all about, man. I know, and I'm with you. If you are like, I don't want to have a chance. I'll give you another one. You want to see Bradley Chubb and you want to see Jalen Phillips?
I don't want to see, to be quite honest with you, I don't want to see any starters outside of the rookies who you may need to start. Joe, it's the preseason, man. Aaron Rodgers, wasn't too far off when he said it's not real football, but.
So outside of Minka Fitzpatrick, I don't want to see. I want to see the rest of those guys. Whether they're penciled in as a starter.
I know, but.
I don't want to see Zach Sealer.
The problem
is. I want to see the rest of those guys.
I think you'd probably agree with it. The depth in a lot of these places is not ideal.
I don't know how many.
I don't know how deep you are as a team. And I don't think you want to find out going into the season because you got guys banged up in the preseason.
But you do have more than enough guys with a 90-man roster to play the back end and let them play most of the preseason.
Yes,
yes, I agree with you. We're on the same page, Wood. And if they decide they don't want to play Tua and he's a little rusty in the first quarter against the Colts, that's part of the deal. The football is going to be a lot better and because you are going from basically practice to full speed with a game plan and blitzing you and all those other things, so it might take a little bit. I don't think anybody thinks in today's NFL the best game is going to be the first game. By the way, don't we have the Ravens and Bills playing in the first game of the season?
We, you know, somebody texted this in, Joe, and I don't know where you stand on this, but remember a bunch of guys get injured early in the season? It's happened a lot, right?
Yes.
And they go, that's because they don't play in the preseason. And someone brought that up. They go, the guys that don't play in the preseason will be the first ones on IR.
A lot of guys think that.
Do you believe that?
I don't know why it seems like more guys get hurt now than when we played. It seems that
way. Because the players are bigger and faster?
Could be.
I mean,
that's fair.
Right?
By the way, that's fair.
And,
they are a lot bigger.
And Joe,
there's
guys,
no 260-pound linemen.
The guys sit with injuries that you guys would have played through, and that's another reality, right?
That's Woody, you're right. You're on the money. Those two do come into play.
You told me the other day you'd never heard of soft tissue.
Nope.
I'm guessing Shula would have made you play through that.
I'm guessing my team in the end of the season, last four or five games, our guys, if they needed to take the needle to get through the game, they took the needle. I'm guessing these guys don't take the needle.
Which is good.
Yeah,
I mean, they shouldn't,
have a problem.
Right? Like,
if you're that hurt that you have to take a needle,
then you shouldn't be playing.
And you know, you can believe these doctors. Our doctors didn't always.
Yeah, you don't have to go down that road.
That's form of slander. That was on its way to slander right there.
That's true.
That was not good.
I'm your legal representative here, too.
It was not good. That was not good where I was going.
These guys are also trying to maximize their earning potential, right? That comes into play. You don't think the agent's in their ear a little bit?
By the way, I can tell you one thing. I don't remember who my agent was when I was sitting in that hospital, and I was looking up at the cross, and it was a Catholic hospital.
Okay.
And I was looking up at it, and I wasn't going, I think it's time I call my agent. And these guys today, they don't do anything without Drew's guys. You don't think they call Drew? First call they make. Sometimes it's not to the wife, it's to Drew. It's not to the girlfriend, it's not to the mom, it's to Drew.
They need a little something to leak. Yep.
No, even if anything, hey, I got something going on. I'm a little concerned. Should I do this or not? And Drew tells him. Hey, speaking of Drew and the Miami Dolphins, you don't think Drew has a little pull with a little power when he needs to get something done with the Dolphins, with the amount of players he has on the team? He's had double-digit players in the past. I don't know if he might be 10-plus now.
He's got to be, right?
Of guys. I know recently we just found out Minka, Sealer, Hilton. That's just recent. There's three guys. And we know Tyreek. Yeah, he's got a lot of guys on this team. All right, we got to go to break here. We've got a lot more stuff to get to. Brian Baldinger is going to join us. We'll have that for you when we come back. Stay with us.